Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Vanessa Kroll Bennett is here with us. She is the author of This Is So Awkward and podcast host of Spilling the Puberty. That is such a clever name.
Hi, Vanessa. I can't take credit. My co-host, Cara Natterson, came up with Spilling the Puberty, and she loves a pun. And if it's a puberty pun, forget it. She's all over it.
Anything better than a puberty pun?
I mean, so the podcast, we call it the Puberty Podcast because it's an alliteration and we couldn't help ourselves. And someone was like, are you going to do like the porn penis and puberty podcast? And I was like, no, we're going to keep it simple. Yeah. And Spilling the Puberty is our Instagram handle and our TikTok handle, where we talk about everything you can possibly imagine having to do with tweens and teens and sex ed and all of it.
It seems like such a distant memory too. And like such a, it was such a big part of life, but in the rear view, I don't have much of a memory of it. So it's kind of exciting to sort of relive it right now.
We're going to bring it all back, Chip.
Oh, God.
Don't you worry.
Oh, God. Oh my God. We're going
way
back. Here
come the zits. I can feel like a zit coming through.
Well, this is exactly why you are here today. I was telling you before the podcast that Chip and I have been having these conversations over the last month just about kind of what America gets wrong with sex, right? And we could not talk about the fact that it starts when you're really young. Like, we just don't get the education at all about sex. And so a friend of ours turned us on to your business because she had talked to you about possibly coming to Nashville to do a workshop with her daughter and their friends just about puberty and about actually having these conversations to educate the kids. And that was another thing we talked about. Like, where are they supposed to learn this? So
that's right.
Tell us about the business before we get to anything else, because I want the listeners to kind of have a foundation of what it is that you do.
So we basically do everything you can possibly think of relating to puberty, educating kids, adults, teachers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone who's involved in caring for kids between 8 and 18 and beyond. We have resources. So we wrote the book, This Is So Awkward. We have the Puberty Podcast. We just launched a health and sex ed curriculum called That Health Class. That should be in italics, which we're now licensing to schools across the country because this is not an easy topic and it's not a quick fix. And we're actually going to be launching a parent portal in the next couple of months to give parents all of the information they need to have these tricky conversations. Mm. And it's not just the kids who didn't get the education. The parents themselves never had it. And it's their fault, right? Like, we grew up in an era, I mean, you guys are younger than I am, but I'll just say we. where you didn't get, you got like an hour sometime in April or May to talk about sex.
Yep.
And if you didn't have a family where like everything gets talked about, I grew up in a family where everything got talked about, and we can explore that later.
if you That's our next therapy that, session.
Where were you going to get the information, right?
Yeah.
Your friends, your peers when you're like a teen are not reliable sources of information. I mean, I had the books, Where Did I Come From and What's Happening to Me. I don't know if you guys had any of those books.
I didn't get any of them. I got no education from
you. We got a lot of work to do. We don't have a lot of time, but we're going to get a lot in a short period of time. And then Cara, my co-host and co-author, wrote the American Girl, Care and Keeping of You books, which are really gentle, really lovely introductions to puberty for girls. And then she wrote Guy Stuff for Boys. So those are incredible resources. But one book doesn't answer the like millions of questions that people have about growing up and changing bodies and later sex and love and all of those things. So
yeah,
that's what we're here for.
Well, I think you touched on such a good topic to say that like our parents can't give us anything they didn't get either, you know? And so if it wasn't started generations back in your family, it's probably just been repeated over and over. And I know my parents had me at 25. Like, you know, they were so much younger than we do it nowadays. But also when I was prepping for this podcast, it dawned on me, I'm like, sex and everything that teenagers are going through now is so completely different than when I was a kid. It wouldn't matter if I had all the education in the world. You've still got a lot to learn.
Totally. I mean, it's incredible. One of the things we talk a lot about is not bringing your baggage into the conversations. So, like, part of it could be, oh, I know just how you feel. I had my heart broken when I was your age and I cried myself to sleep for a year. And now sometimes when your dad's asleep, I still sob silently into my pillow. So don't worry, honey. It'll all be fine eventually.
I'm like, can you imagine a teenager hearing that?
Right? Like what?
From their mom.
From
like,
their mom?
Shut up.
Like, right. And it's like, I don't need your crap. Like I am going through, this is hard enough for me. I don't need you to like dump your stuff all over me. And so part of the, like the first thing you need to do when you're going to have conversations with kids, and this is everybody, this isn't just parents, right? This is grandparents, aunts, uncles, mentors. There's so many adults in kids' lives, particularly around this age, who can have an incredible impact on kids who are not their parents, because kids often like don't want to talk to their parents or don't want to hear the advice their parents have. And so you guys are the perfect example. You're like the cool aunt and uncle who can give good advice. But we all have to leave our baggage at the door. We cannot bring it in. We cannot dump it all over kids because, Kelly, to your point, the world is so different. We don't know how they feel. We didn't grow up with social media. We didn't grow up with like Netflix streaming and 13 Reasons Why and like all of the content they consume and, you know, Andrew Tate and like all of the influences they have in their lives. And so we have to just let them be the experts in their lives, because it's totally different than it was when we were growing up.
Ugh, wow. But how does that work? So they're obviously kids. So how could they be experts? You know, like where do you even know how to start with this stuff?
Okay. So you start from the beginning. So for those of you listening who have like little kids in your lives, right? Toddlers, even infants. You may be listening to this podcast and you're changing your baby on the changing table and you're like opening up the diaper and you're not going to say to your infant, oh, look at your little pee-pee. Isn't it cute? Or look at your little pocketbook. Isn't it cute? Right? Because I'm not making up. Pocketbook is a nickname we've heard for a vulva. Yes. Yes, pocketbook.
I've never heard that. That just
I haven't either.
I mean, it's incredible the creativity people will have to come up with words that are not the anatomically correct words for body parts. But here's the kicker. So you're staring at your baby on the changing table, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, I've never said this word before in my entire life. But you're like, okay, I'm going to clean your penis. And you're like, heart is pumping. And like, it feels like it's going to jump out of your chest. Or like, okay, you know, like you're going to make a wee wee and you're, you know, the pee comes out of your urethra. Did you know that? Okay, fine. You're freaking out, except we have to use anatomically correct language for body parts because the research unequivocally shows us that children who know the names of their genitals and all of their body parts are safer from sexual predators than children who don't.
Why? Wow. Why is that?
Because an adult who is, I mean, I hate to use this phrase, but grooming a child who realizes that that child has an adult in their life who talks to them about their body parts and who is in conversation with them about their privacy, about safe touch and unsafe touch, will realize this is not a kid who I can groom.
Wow.
Someone is talking to this kid about their full human existence and their whole body. And this is not a kid that I can groom. It's crazy. So for no other reason, anyone listening is like, oh, I cannot possibly use those words. Use those words. It will keep your kid safer. So that's where you begin.
What is it about those words that makes it so hard to say? Like for me, it is easier to say.
Really? Because the second
she said pocketbook, Chip.
Yeah, I definitely would feel much more ick calling it a pocketbook.
Although Chip loves to talk about vaginas, though. We talk about this a lot.
I'm an expert.
So, and the other thing, like, here's a perfect example. A lot of people don't know the difference between a vagina and a vulva.
Right.
So the vulva is the external anatomy, right? It's the labia majora, the labia minora, the opening to the vagina, and the clitoris. And here's what's fascinating is nobody tells girls that they have a clitoris. And nobody tells girls that the only job of the clitoris is that it feels good when it's touched. I mean, we have done workshops where there are 40 and 50-year-olds in the room who are like, I never knew that.
What?
I believe
no one told me.
I bet my mom's never been told that. I'd put money on it.
Okay. See, I guess because we just nowadays, because of porn and all the conversation happening around sex, it seems so obvious to me. But I guess if you were an older generation, like older than
nobody
us,
told
I mean,
them.
Maybe they just didn't. Yeah.
No. And people aren't telling girls. And it's like,
it's
can
specifically
you imagine
girls
going through life? Yeah. Because here's the difference for boys, the penis is both about reproduction and about pleasure.
Right.
So they talk about the penis because if at baseline, if the kid is being taught about reproduction, they have to talk about the penis. Whereas for girls, if you're only talking about reproduction, you really only have to talk about the vagina and then the uterus and the fallopian tubes and the ovaries. But you don't have to talk about a clitoris if the only purpose is to talk about reproduction. And so I think that is like a little bit the source of the inequity. I mean, there's also like all sorts of inequity between how people talk about boys having sex and girls having sex. But I do think that's part of it. It's like you can skip over it and still talk about reproduction. And it's really important for girls to know. It's also important for them to know about their vulvas because that's a place that needs to be kept clean in a really gentle and safe way. And they won't necessarily intuitively know how to take care of that part of their body if someone's not teaching them and teaching them the different parts of that body. And so it's also about, it's not just about pleasure, it's about self-care. It's about going to the doctor and having a pain or a sting or a rash and being able to say exactly where that difficulty is. If no one teaches you the names, you're kind of just like down there. But the more
in
you
my
can
pocketbook,
specify,
in my pocketbook,
in the side purse,
by the button of my pocketbook.
Wait, in Nashville, do you guys say purse or pocketbook?
Purse.
I thought I was like, I'm talking to a purse group. I'm not talking to a pocketbook. Group.
My mom said pocketbook, but it wasn't about her down below.
It wasn't about her down below because your mom didn't talk about her down below.
Right.
So you knew
it was a Barbie part.
You didn't even know your mom had a down below.
No, it's a Barbie part.
A Barbie part.
Solid.
So it really starts as soon as we are born, as soon as we're digesting words with just talking yes. about our body parts. That's such a good tip. I did not even think about that. But the predators, like, obviously, if you know the actual names of your body parts, they also know conversation is open in that home.
Exactly.
And that's what's probably a
great way of
base.
Framing it.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other thing you can start when you have little kids, like kids in preschool.
Yeah.
Are conversations about consent. So one of the things that happens in our culture is we start talking about consent when, like, kids are getting ready to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I shouldn't say kids, teens and young adults are getting ready to have sex. But the truth is, you can talk about consent when it has nothing to do with sex, right? Like, can I braid your hair? Can I sit on your lap? Can I stand next to you in line? Can I have a bite of your sandwich? There's a million ways that we can teach kids to ask for permission from other people and to require permission for themselves when somebody is in their bubble, when somebody wants to borrow something or use something or touch them. And if we get to this topic before it's ever about sex, it's like totally ingrained in their minds that this is a requirement. This is about human dignity. This is about respect. And then when it comes time, if they choose to have sex, they know how to advocate for themselves. They know how to ask permission from another person. And it's like second nature instead of this moment where they're like, oh my God, I have no idea how to do this. And I'm in this really intense moment. So that's another thing that we can talk to kids about, like, really, really early on. Yeah. And that includes folks listening, grandparents and aunts and uncles asking for permission for hugs and kisses. So not saying, but you have to give Mima a hug. You have to give Mima a kiss. I'm your grandmother. It's required. No, it's never required. A kid always gets to choose who they touch, who they hug, who they kiss, and vice versa. Because again, we're teaching them, you are the boss of your body. You are in charge of who you touch and who touches you. And again, that's a preventative, really important preventative measure as we help kids build these skills.
Yeah. And that one's another really good point to just how times have changed, because those are really basic boundary lessons, if you really think about it. And I think it is something I see a lot of parents doing a lot more of, specifically with the hugging. Like, if you don't want to hug that person, not to be rude about it, but it's your choice. But when I was a kid, and I'm sure when you guys were kids, it was like, have good manners and you do what the adult is asking regardless, you know? And I think that that can be very dangerous. Thankfully, like, nothing happened with me, but I've heard so many terrible stories of family members, friends of family, like those being the actual predators. So I think that's a really good lesson to start with.
And if you're worried about your kid being quote unquote like impolite by refusing it, then give them another option. Like, hey, do you want to give Chip a high five or an elbow bump? Or do you guys want to come up with a funny handshake? Like, I know you really love him, but you do what feels comfortable to you. Maybe you guys can figure out a way, right? Like, so it's you can model for another adult that kids can still feel great affection and connection to someone else in their life without having to give them a hug or a kiss.
So that starts when they're really young. But as kids start getting older, and I think for me, if I was a parent, I would imagine that this is where it would get trickier, is when you are actually having the real conversations, the hard conversations, and they have feedback or they have questions or they know what their body parts are, you know, like when they're actually engaging in the conversation. I just remember looking at my parents when I was little, thinking they know everything. And now that I'm their age, I'm like, they didn't know shit.
They knew nothing.
Yeah. So where do you even know how to start?
So the place to start often is actually while, like, watching a TV show or watching a movie. And, you know, there's always that moment when kids are kind of like in grade school where there's like the kiss or the romantic scene and they're like, oh my God, fast forward it, or like, I'll uncover my eyes, right? Because it's like all of a sudden it's uncomfortable to them and they're not sure how to handle it. So you take the pause, right? You literally pause and you're like, so what do you think's happening here? Like, and tell me why you're freaking out a little bit. Like, I'm really interested. And they might say, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Just fast forward. And you can say, okay, like, I think this scene is kind of interesting because these are two people who are clearly really in love with each other and they're figuring out how they want to express that, right? Or your kid might say, oh, it's so disgusting. I hate watching people kiss, right? And you're like, right, I totally get that. That tells me that kissing is probably not something you're ready to do, but maybe when you're a little older, it might be something you're interested in. So we can talk about it then, right? Like, you're totally validating whatever their reaction is because that's their reaction.
It's their reaction, yeah.
And you want them to trust their instincts about what feels comfortable and what doesn't. Now, the tricky thing is kids are exposed to so much media now, even if they don't have phones, even if they're not on social media, like the content they can just stream is unbelievable. And the amount of sexual content in just normal, ordinary shows, there's a lot of sexual content. And so you're not always going to be watching with them. Sometimes you will and sometimes you won't. But you also want to have a conversation that sounds something like, hey, kiddo, I know you're like sick of watching shows with me. So I just want to tell you in general that if you're going to, you know, go binge a show on Netflix, there's a few things we should probably talk about before you go and watch, I don't know, The Summer I Turned Pretty, for example. And it's not just about sex. There's also like a lot of drug and alcohol content that they're not ready to see. There's sometimes like violence. There's often like fights or aggression that they may not be prepared to see. So that's a great way in. That's like a really gentle way into conversations about sex and intimacy. And one thing I really, really want people to remember is that when you talk about sex and intimacy, like, you don't just talk about, like, you know, protect yourself or like, this is how babies are made and you're not ready to have a baby. Like, you can also talk about love. Like, people talk about love. And we'll get to porn in a second because I know, you know, you're all dying to get there. So we'll get there.
Always. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Just like the thematic.
If you know anything about me, you know I am a massive creature of comfort. It is one of my top priorities in life to make my surroundings comfortable at all times. So when I found Cozy Earth, I quickly scooped up all of the luxurious bedding and loungewear that I could. It felt very on brand for me, but then I went on a trip with a girlfriend not too long ago where she could not stop commenting on how cute and comfy my pajamas were, which then made me realize they may also be my new favorite travel companion as well. Guys, I am not kidding when I say you will experience unmatched softness and smoothness with all of Cozy Earth's products. The temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew add comfort and a touch of style to any travel ensemble, and their bedding comes in the most adorable totes, making it a super easy gift to give anyone. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code VELVETSEDGE at the checkout for an exclusive 35% off and let them know we sent you when you're at the checkout.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to
Bring out the most in our patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
With love, like what you're trying to do is help your kid connect the dots between feeling connected to someone else, caring about someone else, loving someone else, and finding physical expression of that love if they choose to, right? Because that's someday down the road, you hope that your kid finds someone who sees them, who loves them, who cares for them, who respects them, and if they choose, with whom they have a really loving, pleasurable, fulfilling sexual relationship. That's like that. That's the end goal, right? That's the finish line in the marathon. And to get there, you have to help them connect the dots between the physical expression of like what that looks like and love and connection and respect and human dignity and laughter and joy. Because I got to tell you, the world is not connecting those dots for our kids, right? And that's where porn comes in. Porn is offering a completely different free porn that kids are exposed to. I'm not talking about like the feminist ethical porn behind like a paywall on OnlyFans. Like I'm talking about the free porn that kids get exposed to is not the kind of sex that we someday hope our kids will have. So I don't know, Kelly and Chip, if you are ready to talk about
I'm listening to you. That was
where I was going to lead to real quick. Like I'm sitting here listening to you talk and it sounds very natural to you and like you're very comfortable with this. I'm not a parent, you know, I'm an uncle. Because I never received this, I'm sitting here being like, oh my God, like my anxiety is like coming up my throat thinking like I want to throw up thinking about like actually having to have a conversation, because even if I did and I felt like, oh, I've read the book, I'm educated, my sister would fucking kill me for even, she'd be like, that is not your job. But I also know that she's probably not doing the right things. Like I think she thinks she's probably doing the right things, but she had the same upbringing as me. So I don't know that she has the skills. So
the first thing is just to acknowledge it. Like we always say when we get to this part of when we do our keynote, like anybody here have like a little vomit in the back of their throat? if you do, you're not alone. And when you talk to kids about this stuff, and we'll get to the family like permissions and not pissing off your family members, because it is a really important point that you bring up. But let's say it's your kid or the kid that you are in charge of and in charge of giving this education to. You can narrate how you're feeling. So you can literally say, dude, my heart is racing. My palms are sweating. My pits are soaked. I feel like I might throw up. But this conversation is so important for us to have that I'm going to get over all of my discomfort and I'm just going to start. And by the way, I'm definitely going to mess something up and that's totally fine. I'm going to move through this because it is so important that I talk to you about X. Whether it's sex or fentanyl or whatever it is, you can totally narrate, because there's nothing a kid likes better than when an adult acknowledges their own discomfort.
Totally agree.
And their own fallibility. Like kids are like, oh, all right, we're down. Here we go. We're going to do this. And they're like, you're not holding yourself on a pedestal. You're not saying you're perfect. They can totally relate to it, because what does the world tell them every day?
You're just a kid.
You don't know. How could you forget your homework? Why did you lose your sneakers? you didn't call grandma, right? Like everyone is busy telling them all the things they did wrong, me included. I have four kids and I spend 90% of my time like reminding them of the shit they did not do. But with us, when we're like, we're not up here, we are down here. We are in the trenches with you and we're going to do this. And God, am I so nervous, but we're going to do it anyway. That does two things, Chip. It acknowledges like this is not easy for me. And also it tells them that they can be uncomfortable and move through discomfort. Mm. They can be uncomfortable and choose to go forth bravely and handle it, because some things are that important that we have to weather the discomfort. And I think it's an incredible thing to model for kids. Do you want to talk about the sibling permission thing? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's really important for kids this age is probably starting, I mean, it kind of depends when kids start to move around on their own a bit, but like it depends what community you're in, but you know, maybe around 10 or 11, you want to help them make a list of who their trusted adults are besides you, someone they can turn to in a pinch, right? So it might be, I lost my wallet and I have no money for bus fare. Or it might be, I think I might have sex with my boyfriend and I need you to like help me out, right? It could be anything. But helping kids come up with their list of trusted adults. So for instance, Chip, your sister could be like, okay, you're on her list. You're one of her trusted adults. I'm not so sure you should be on her list, but okay, we're going to run with it. And then you can say to her, listen, what are the no-fly zones? Like, what are you cool with me talking to her about? Talking to your niece about, and where are you like, this is a boundary, don't cross the boundary. Even if you feel like, oh, someone should really talk to her about this. Like, it's your family and you love your family and you want your family to keep talking to you. So, you know, better to not be excommunicated than to cross a boundary.
Right.
But you could say to her, for instance, hey, listen, I just did this podcast and this woman was talking about porn and how it's like really violent and really aggressive. And there's like tons of choking in it. We can get to that. And I sort of feel like someone needs to have a conversation about porn with my niece. Like, hey, sis, it can be you. If you want to have that conversation, she's probably gonna be like, no effing way. Or you could say, I'm happy to give it a shot. I may not do it perfectly, but I'm happy to give it a shot. But like someone needs to have that conversation. And that way you're giving her a choice. And she may say, no one is having that conversation. And you can say, that's fine. But you should just know that if no one's having that conversation, she's getting her sexual education from porn and from her friends, neither of which are accurate or reliable sources of information. Oh, sorry. And TikTok.
And TikTok,
the three sources.
Yeah. Oh, the TikTok stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Or YouTube. I feel like they're all over that too.
It's everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. So, mm-hmm. Chip, that's what I would do. I would just sort of like raise it in a more neutral way and kind of see.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I was actually home this weekend. It was my sister's 50th birthday party. And I went and saw, I stayed with my parents for one night. And my mom shared this story that I didn't remember. She said that when I was little, I told my sister's 21 months older than me, so we're pretty close. And she said that I told my sister that my mom, the way that my sister was born was my mom sat on an egg in the corner of our dining room until my sister was born. And my mom says she still laughs sometimes when she goes to the dining room thinking of that. But she said that when I said it, she goes, oh, good, now I don't have to have the conversation about the birds and the bees with him. Because this is what they think. So it's funny that we're now I'm having this conversation with you, because like that was my mom's like escape plan. Like, oh, that's what he thinks. Cool.
Right. Oh, and he doesn't need reliable science-based information.
Right. That's what adults do. They just sit on eggs until a baby is born.
I mean, you must have read Mother Goose or something along the lines.
Right.
And that was his sexual education.
And I totally thought that story was going in another direction where your
so
mom was
did
like,
I.
And then I realized that we really needed to talk about how babies are really made, but apparently not.
Right.
But here's the other thing I do want to say is like our parents just did the best they could. Best they could at the time. And for anyone listening who's like, I've done that or my parents did it. Like, we all just have to remove shame and judgment. Like,
right.
We're doing our best. This is really tough stuff. I know it sounds like I'm like, will happily sit and talk to you about this stuff forever with a glass of wine and like a charcuterie board. And I will.
That sounds fun.
But I know that does sound fun. I'll come to Nashville.
Yeah.
But most people don't. And that's totally okay. Like, and the more you judge yourself for not doing it right or doing it well, the harder it gets. So just let yourself off the hook. And like, these are tons and tons and tons of teeny tiny conversations, like 30 seconds. Hey, dude, I realized that we've never talked about porn. Do you know the word pornography? And your kid might be like, yeah. And you can say, oh, what does it mean? I don't know. And then you can like give them two sentences on porn, right? And for everyone listening who's like, okay, what are those two sentences on porn? The two sentences on porn are something like, it's when people or a person is doing something sexual in a video or in a photograph, and it's not for kids, it's for adults. And if anybody ever shows it to you or you happen to see it, you just come and let me know. I won't freak out. I won't be mad, but you should let me know because it's really not for kids. And that's it. Because here's what we know. The average age of exposure to porn in this country is 12 years old.
Wow.
And 15% of 10-year-olds have been exposed to porn.
That's crazy to think about.
So the people who are like, oh, I'll wait till they're like a junior in high school. No, you won't.
They've been watching for years at that point.
Yeah, like, they've got it bookmarked.
They've got their favorite stars. They're like all about it.
They're subscribed to OnlyFans.
Yeah. I mean, that is so wild. That's what I was just thinking, though. The one thing that I'm thinking consistently as you talk would be how much emotional maturity is involved in all of these conversations. And even from such a young age, I love that you're talking about starting to speak, you know, the real words, because that makes us grow up, right? And like talking about my generation and generations before, it's almost like we got to kind of sidestep these things, these growing up things and these emotionally maturing things, because like society wasn't necessarily asking that of us yet. But it is now. Like, there's just too much openness.
There's so much information.
There's like sex is everywhere. And I know as an adult woman, I'm learning how to have a different relationship with sex, just like we were talking about, to enjoy the pleasure of it and like know that that's okay for me. But there's a lot of unlearning that I love that the younger generation of women may not have to go through.
I mean, the thing is, the misinformation on social media, you know, on YouTube, on TikTok. I mean, the misinformation about how to care for your body parts.
Right.
Forget about like actual intercourse, just like the things
basic
that they're
hygiene.
Telling women to put up their vaginas, for instance, which is like totally not right and not safe. So part of the challenge is figuring out what is reliable information. And that's for all of us. That's not just for kids. That's for anyone who's looking for information. And like figuring out where are my obstacles? Like, what is getting in the way for me? Is it, listen, some people had real trauma, right? Some people suffered sexual assault or sexual abuse. Like, that goes into having these conversations with kids about how you approach it, what your comfort level is. Some people had really loving, incredible first sexual relationships. And so they learned early on, like, oh, this is what I can expect. Some people didn't have their first orgasm until they were well into adulthood, right? There's like so many different pathways we can take. And a really important part of it is learning who we can trust, what sources of information we can trust, which people in our lives we can trust to talk about this stuff, who aren't going to laugh or shame us or judge us for going through these journeys. So I think when you think about as kids get older and they're actually, it's not just sort of preventative information. It's not just like get there first before the bad information gets there. But then all of a sudden kids are out in the world, like making choices about being intimate with someone. And one of the things we talked earlier about what's so different today than it was, and hookup culture is like totally standard and normal in a way it wasn't like when I was single. So hookup culture, for people who don't know, is like you take the order of operations of like being in a relationship or sexually involved with someone, right? It was like, it used to be the order of operations was like, you met someone at a party or at a bar, and then you went on a date with them, and then you started dating. And then maybe at some point you had sex with them, or maybe you were dating and you were in a committed relationship, and then you decided to have sex with them. Now you like throw the order of operations up in the air, and it's like Mr. Potato Head, but instead of like the mouth being where the mouth should go, like the mouth is on the ear and the nose is on the mouth. Like there's no order. And so young people are having sex with someone they just met. And then maybe they'll hang out with them after that. And then maybe they'll decide, I don't know, a few weeks later, they're not going to have sex with anyone else, but they're not dating and they're not in a committed relationship, but they're exclusive. And then maybe they're dating, but they're not, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, or boyfriend and boyfriend, or girlfriend and girlfriend. So it's like everything we thought we knew is completely thrown up in the air, which makes it that much more important that kids understand how to advocate for themselves, to say what they want and what they don't want, to understand how to keep themselves safe, like preventing STIs and STDs. STIs and STDs are way on the rise, way on the rise. And fewer kids are using condoms than they did 20 years ago. So, and we now, with all of the legal changes in our country, it's much harder to get an abortion. So all of a sudden, the conversations become that much more important on so many different fronts than they were.
Yeah, it's just completely different. If you,
look scared. I feel like,
well, we're just like digesting it all, because I think it's, yeah, I think this is all very relevant to what's happening. And, you know, Chip and I, neither of us have kids. And so it's something I can observe from afar. But obviously, like, even hearing some of these conversations, I'm like, hats off to parents, because parenting sounds really fucking hard. I mean, it just sounds hard. But I wanted to
think about ourselves, Kelly. Like, if people are not in a committed relationship and they're out in the world, like, this is not only the purview of kids. Yeah. This is the purview of everybody. Like, it's all changed. And so all of us need to know how to take care of ourselves, how to protect ourselves, how to find pleasure in our sexual relationships. Like, it's important for people of any age.
The consent thing, all of that, that's still relevant. I'm 41. That's still very relevant amongst all my friends, you know, that's like one of the conversations. But I wanted to ask you, when you're sitting in these workshops and just from the work that you do, like, is there one overriding thing that you walk away from every time and you're like, there it is again? Like, when we were talking about what America gets wrong about sex, like, is there an answer that you would have as you're in the trenches with these kids seeing it so often?
I think there's two things. One is about how we talk about sex, and the other is like how we, the narrative we offer kids about sex. And I know that kind of sounds like the same thing, but overall, when you talk to kids about sex, you're going to mess up. Like, you are 100% at some point in those conversations, you're going to mess up. And so one of the things I really, really encourage people to do is to take a do-over. Like, own it. You messed up. So Chip, for example, not to harp on your mother, but like, she's not going to listen to this
episode. No, she doesn't even know I have a podcast.
So. Right. So we're safe.
Or know what a podcast is.
So let's say, for example, you said to your mom, yeah, so I know you like sat on the corner on an egg and my sister was born and great. And she was like, okay, I'm clear. Great. Moving on. So a do-over would have looked like, a couple days later, your mom realized, you know what, Chip should probably know how a baby is, one of the ways a baby is actually made. I'm going to like revisit it. And she comes to you and she says, hey Chip, you know when you said that a baby was made because a woman sits on an egg and then the egg is hatched? So I'm actually going to tell you there's a different way that babies are made. And then she proceeds to tell you, right? So that's just like nuts and bolts, brass tacks information.
Right.
I messed up. Like, I know an incredible sex educator who, when her kid asked her when he was little what sex was, she told him it was a special hug. And then she was like,
She's like, I do this for a living, and that's all I got.
Do this.
It's always different when it's your kid. Yeah.
Yes. The cobbler's children. She was so mortified.
But the stress, so the pressure, it gets right. to us all.
We say dumb shit when we are stressed out. But then she went back at a quieter moment and she was like, dude, I am so sorry. You know, when you asked me what sex was and I told you it was a special hug, well, there's a better answer. And she proceeded to tell him. So for those of you who are like, okay, I'm going to have the sex talk. And by the way, it's not a talk. It's like thousands of tiny, tiny talks, which also takes the pressure off.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
But so that's one thing. Like, you got this. You can do it. You're going to mess up. We all mess up. You take a do-over. You have another chance. But the second thing is, when we talk about sex to kids, to friends, to whomever, we have to talk about love. Mm. We have to give them the expectation that when they choose to be intimate with someone, and they may choose to be intimate with someone and have it not be love, and it's just fun, and it's pleasurable, and it's consensual, and it's respectful, great. Like, if all of those things are in place, awesome. But we hope for our kids that someday they will really be seen by another person, right? And that sex is an expression of that person caring about them so much, respecting them so much, loving them, wanting them to feel pleasure that they are going to do for them in their sexual relationship what they do for them in other parts of their lives. They're going to cook them dinner. They're going to do their laundry, and they are going to make sure that sex is a loving, respectful, pleasurable experience. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Ugh. We miss that.
We miss that.
Because it's either or, the way society has it set up now. It's like you don't have sex until you're married because of exactly what you're saying, because you want to be loved and respected. But that doesn't work for all of us. And so then it's like, if you're not married, do you have to negate the rest of that? No.
No.
The respect, the care, the love, even if it's not the person you end up with forever, can still be there.
And the foundations of that are like when we're younger. Like, think about, close your eyes and think about your first crush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can feel viscerally like the butterflies in your stomach and the sweatiness and the thrill and the excitement and like the desire to just connect with someone on such a deep level. You weren't interested in having sex with them then. You had the foundation, right? You're in sixth grade, you're in seventh grade. You had the foundation of just connecting to someone else. And then if you think, oh my God, my, you know, my young adult or myself, if I can couple that deep connection with a sex life that actually feels like a companion to that deep connection, how incredible would that be for all of us? What a better like world we live in.
I mean, for
if everybody.
Well, I mean, if you think about back to the porn conversation, most of it looks selfish,
mm-hmm.
and that is teaching kids that that sex is not about giving pleasure; it's about receiving it. And
taking it,
and right. You know, so it's just another reason that educating your kids on what the proper way of giving and receiving love during sex isn't just about like pounding somebody, you know, like
totally
just to get your rocks off.
I will say, I love that phrase. I will say,
it really does never get old.
One of the first conversations I had with my oldest kid when he was in high school was like, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but your job is to make sure your partner has pleasure before you do."
Mm, what a good mom.
And how did he respond to that?
And he kind of looked at me and he was like, okay. And then I said something else to him. And I said, also, it's okay to laugh and talk when you're having sex with someone.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important to communicate because you can't read each other's minds and you don't know what feels good and you don't know what hurts and you don't know what they want to do next. So ask, and it's much easier to do that when it's someone you trust and someone you have a friendship with. I didn't say like someone you're in love with or someone you're in an exclusive relationship with. I just said someone you can have a good time with and who you trust. And he came back to me 2 years later and he said, you know, Mom, when you said that thing about like being with someone who you trust and who like you can laugh with, that is actually true. And I was like,
cry right now.
I was like, oh my God, I finally did something right.
I mean, but that's like, think about if all the moms with sons did that, how much better off our society would be.
But it's true talking about it, Kelly.
I know. I know.
And it's so hard. It's so hard, but it's not impossible. I think that's what I want to say. It's not. It feels impossible and it feels scary, but to anyone listening, you can do it. Start small. Start with like the tiniest thing. Start with talking about respect or talking about laughter or talking about something that feels comfortable and then make your way in to the harder topics. Do it when you're not staring at each other, when you're walking the dog, you're in the car, you know, where there's no eye contact. If you're braiding your kid's hair, if your kid likes you to sit with them like outside the bathroom while they're taking a bath, like whatever it is where there's no eye contact, takes the pressure off. Everybody can breathe a little bit, but pick one thing to talk about.
Yeah. So it's not overwhelming.
I've noticed one of the things I've always hated about being an observer of people raising kids, and I don't know if this is because my mom talked to me like I was a kid. I hate when people talk to kids like they're kids. They're humans. And all of my friends who I think are the best parents talk to their kids like they're humans.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't talk to them like they're adults because they're not, but they talk to them like they're humans. And I feel like if you just start with that route from day one, it makes these things a lot easier because they're used to being spoken to like they understand things. And I think it probably makes kids more curious because they know that they have an adult that they can ask questions to and they're going to get an honest answer, a human answer, and not just like, oh, that's not for you. You're a kid.
I mean, that's why Judy Blume was so amazing because she saw kids as whole human beings.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't see them as dumbed down or not worthy of honest, forthright fiction and information, right? Like, she's like, no, you deserve a full human experience, and I'm going to give it to you with this book. And I think we can really learn from her that respecting kids, showing them, I mean, obviously age-appropriate information when we talk to them, but like getting curious, like, hey, what do you know about this? Or like, mm-hmm. what have you heard about this? Or I'm so curious. I saw this trend on TikTok and I have no idea what it means. Can you please explain it to me? Because you know so much more about this than I do, right? Like, letting them be the expert, letting them feel like they have something to contribute and something to say, and not just being talked down to or dismissed or dumbed down. Because I got to tell you, kids are so smart. They are so funny. They are so interesting. And you guys probably get the best versions of kids. Like, I feel like parents don't always get the best versions of their kids because you're dealing with like the daily slog, the like mundane crap. But when you get to just like sit down at a family gathering with a kid and be like, what music are you listening to right now? Yeah. Because I need some new music. I am dying to know what you are listening to. And then they are going to turn around. They're going to make you laugh. They're going to blow your mind. They're going to teach you something new. So, Chip, I couldn't agree more. I think it is so important to talk to them on our level and give them the respect of being really curious about what they think and what they know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the book is This Is So Awkward, and we mentioned the podcast called Spilling the Puberty. It's Puberta for you listening. I love that. No, I think it's the most clever name ever. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what they might find on the podcast?
I mean, the podcast, we cover everything from how to have conversations with kids about sex to how to deal with like the nightmare of homework. To things like youth sports over specialization, treating anxiety and mental health challenges. We cover every topic that affects kids between 8 and 18. We love listener questions. There's some awesome ones. We did an episode recently about how to handle it when your teenager treats you like crap. Which is a very common topic.
Yeah. I'm sure.
So anything you need when you're dealing with a kid this age, and we have tons of non-parents who listen. We have tons of trusted adults and educators and healthcare providers, because we really combine good science-based information that's super important with fun and funny and really tactical strategies for having all of these conversations.
I was going to say, you know what else you do is you teach how to have conversation, which is a skill that I think a lot of people in this world are lacking as well. Like, communication seems to be really difficult for some of us.
I think it's really hard for people. So the book that we wrote, half of the book is about how to talk about all of this.
Yeah.
Chapter by chapter. So everything from getting boobs to porn to friendships, half the book is about having these conversations, because when you are scared and when you are freaked out, the words don't come, right?
No,
it's like
right.
You have a block. And so we give tons and tons of scripts, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. Now I know what I have, how I have to start. And then it flows from there. So yes, communication is so important. Communication between you and your kid, between your kid and their peers. All of that is super important. And so we really, really hope to help people have those conversations.
I love it. I'm going to put the link for both of those things, the podcast and the book, in the description of this podcast. And then if people just want to keep up with you, Vanessa, where can they find you?
So they can follow us on Instagram at Spilling the Puberty and TEA, or at Vanessa Kroll Bennett on Instagram. And if you have any questions for the podcast, you can email thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check out all of the stuff we do, you can visit our website, lessawkward.com, because everything we do is to make this stage of life less awkward.
God, I wish you guys existed when I was in junior high, because I was the queen of awkward.
Well, luckily you've grown into a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. So
thank you so much.
There's hope for all of us, Kelly, if you are awkward.
Vanessa, thank you so much for being here. I love chatting with you. We'll just have to have you back. I feel like we
could
talk for
days.
This is
so fun. I feel like we're going to get
a lot of listener emails and questions from this one. So
great. Yeah, bring them on.
Sure.
All right.
Bring them on. And right. Chip, if your mom wants to have like a one-on-one, I'm totally available.
Claudia,
I can't wait to make my sister listen. I should order the book for my sister.
Yeah.
Well, you guys will have the book and then you can decide what you want to do with it.
But thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
You guys go check out all of Vanessa's work. Again, I will put it in the description of this podcast. And thank you so much for listening.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.